All right. So welcome to Infinite Possibilities. This is our September 2024 meeting. And we have the small but perfect group. And so what we're going to just start off with in the beginning was just general, as always. I know not everyone's in Infinite Possibilities, but relative to Infinite Possibilities, I've kind of changed up the order of things a little bit, but we're not going to do that this time here. So let's just share anything or bring up any generalized questions around Okay, the High Council of Orion just told me one of the things they want to do tonight. Okay, so anything you want to ask about or share about relative to what is going on for you with channeling right now, and then I'll open to sharing their messages. Go ahead, Andrea.
Well, I've been noticing that I've been channeling energies. I've been getting energies, and this morning I did a universal sphere that ended up including the entire universe, all the dimensions, anything that had ever been, what was here now, and what will be.
Wow.
And I sent it, and I got the energy back, and oh my gosh, it was an incredible energy.
So when you'd offered up that big sphere with everything in it, because what you were offering it to, you're part of it, so you could feel the receiving also.
Yeah, it was really cool.
That is very cool. Yeah.
Like, wow. I wasn't expecting that, but you know, I should figure that one out. And then right after that, there was a bird that hit the window, and I ran out to see if it was okay. And I got to hold this little sparrow for a while. And I kept asking it, you know, let me know when you're ready to fly. And I wasn't getting any word communication, but it started vibrating. I could feel this vibration starting inside of its body. And it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And when the vibration got really big, I opened up my hand, and it kind of fluffed a little bit and went, psh,
wow.
It flew off. It was amazing. I've never experienced anything like that.
Do you think that was related to more the subtlety of your ability to maybe feel the life force in the bird kind of coming back? Or was it that strong that anyone would have been able to feel that?
I think anybody could have felt it. And
Wow.
I've held many birds, and I've never felt anything like that.
Interesting that that happened also right after you did the spheres too, right?
Yeah, I thought so too.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, very fun. Thank you for sharing that. Anyone else? Carol?
Oh, okay. This was, I used to have this dog named Petey, who was a rescue for those that don't know me. And I had to relinquish him after 3 years because he bit people in my home. And it was just, I was just at the point of I'd gone on a trip and I had an opportunity to have a couple weeks away from the stress of that situation. And I didn't realize how stressful it was for me. So after I came back, I realized it was best for me if I gave him back to the rescue. So I did, and I would have intermittent visits with him because the rescue person thought it was important for him to have some contact. Long story short, this one lady who did not have children, was married, decided they wanted a hypoallergenic dog, which he was or is, and they took him in as a foster. Within 5 days, I got ping from him, which was one of the few times that I had that kind of connection with him, that he said that he found his forever home. And the next day I get a call from the rescue and saying, this family wants to adopt him. Are you okay with that? And I go, sure, you know, and I'm more than happy to talk with them. So we eventually shared, I gave her all the information I needed to for the new family and pictures and the whole bit. And we've maintained contact. Well, last week, because it had been so hot and they have air conditioning, they invited me over to share some air conditioning in the afternoon, which I was really grateful for because it had been so hot in Southern California. And so and that's the first time I'd been to their house. And so I took my dogs over to visit with Petey. And it was like, he was over the moon. He was so happy for us to come and visit him at his house. Cause he's come and visited here cause I was watching him for a couple of times, but he finally came over to me. And because Petey generally did not communicate with me, channeling wise, it was usually through another person. I felt that he kept coming over to me to express his gratitude to me and tell me he would always love me, but he was so grateful that even though it hurt for a little while, that he found this home.
Mm.
And that he thanked me for helping him as much as I did so that he could stay in this home.
Wow.
Because he had been turned back about two or three times.
Oh, wow. I forgot that part of the story with him, Carol. Now that you say that, I recall that.
Yeah. And so I was so touched by that. Because I had never experienced that with him. So that was my woohoo big channeling moment, that I was able to receive his message and receive his gratitude and love. That was really
beautiful.
Yeah, it was, you know, I love the couple. I can't, you know, I can never thank them enough for making the home they have for him. And
yeah.
Accepting him as he is.
Oh, that's so, so sweet, so lovely. And, you know, it's a big lesson too. And right, like you were also listening that you or your household wasn't really the right fit for him either. And you're willing to release him to find that better home. So that's a big channeling moment, I would say.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, thanks to you and Paul was involved in it too at the time. And, you know, cause I was just too emotionally engaged at the time to really get a clear message. But,
oh yeah.
So, you know, so we see each other, you know, once or twice a month, we have play dates. So it's been a really positive and good experience.
That's great. What a fun form of channeling too, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's, you know, I mean, it's spheres and channeling,
mm-hmm.
because there was a lot of spheres that went Petey's way to help him find a family. So, and to help me heal. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
Beautiful. Well, thank you for sharing that. That's incredible. Very heartwarming. And happy for you too, because I would imagine that feeling like I've done as much as I can and it's not the right thing and being willing to give him back, there still might be, you know, a little hole in your heart for that, or I could have done more, should have done more, you know, all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. There was always a second guessing, you know, if I had done this or if I had, you know. And, you know, after a while, you know, there was a moment when I realized that he accepted his Sheena and Mike as his family. It was when he didn't chase after us to go home with us. at the Fiesta Island when he stayed with Sheena. I said, okay, that's beautiful.
Yeah, nice. Yay. Thanks for sharing that. Sherry Lynn, do you have anything you want to share? And no obligation to it.
But sure, please. I can. Sorry, I'm still misty. I really like that. I have a thing for animals. So as soon as we talk about like anything with that, I'm just like, ooh, it just feels. Anyways, okay. So last weekend, so I'm taking Holly's Akashic reading class. And so I've done Akashic readings before, but I'm treating it as a complete beginner. And so one of the things I did earlier this week, I'm doing like a meditation night with Reiki for some of my clients who are interested in my yurt, totem my yard over this month, and which is a little hit and miss with our weather, but I think it should be good. And we're in our Alberta, so that's why it's a little bit chillier. But long story short, let me get to the point. So I went into my records in the morning to get some clarity on like what the meditation was going to be on. In my mind, I had like done some research. I had some things that I thought would be really great. I was like, you know what? Full moon's coming up. I think we should do a full moon type. It was only a day away. I'm like, yep, that's where I think we're going with this. And so when I got into my records, it was like, no, you're doing self-love. And I was like, well, what about this? I thought these crystals would be, no. You're going to go into your records before the meditation and we'll guide you. And I was like, okay, all right. Like I was expecting to have a plan, like Holly, like you're saying. I'm like, no, okay, well, I can trust this. I'm going to do this. And so I did that. I went to my records before the session. I did a little bit of meditation and I explained some of my experience with like the journey to self-love. That's a lifelong thing. I don't know that we'll ever be there. And then I just allowed it to flow and I allowed the Reiki to flow and I allowed like just everything to, and it was such a fascinating session. It was completely different from how I would have approached and what I would have expected. The crystals that, cause I typically select custom crystals for the people if they want to meditate with them and tap into their energy. And they were completely different than what I would have expected and chosen. I was like, So like the whole night was just me trusting and rolling with it. And it was so amazing. And the feedback that I got at the end was pretty cool. Like the one lady, she had a pretty big wall around her heart and like an unhealed wound relating to her first heartbreak that like she just had involuntary tears coming out. She's like, I'm not crying, but I can't stop like leaking. And I was like, well, that's a really gentle way to let those things go, right? So it was so cool. So yeah. So thank you, Holly. This extra different entry point into the Akashic records just seems a little bit different from the flavor that I've kind of experienced before. So here we are. That was my experience. So it's been cool.
That is so much fun. So when you were leading the whole evening, were you in your records the whole time?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's okay. What they had suggested that I do. So I was like, okay, so I'm just going to trust that. And then after the session was done, I got out and yeah. So I've heard some people say that like, if you do energy treatments while in your records, they can be more powerful. I'm not certain one way or another. I just know that the guidance that I get is, it's pretty cool. So like what comes through me, what flows through me. So yeah, I guess I'll play with that a little bit.
Yeah. Well, and you know, the Akashic Records is very, you know, it's a subset of channeling. It's channeling your soul's energy, your soul's wisdom. So it definitely is that form of channeling that's very unique to you. And meaning you, like whomever's records are open. And you could even do it where you open up the records of the group at the beginning of it. And you could try that out and see what that's like. I've done like shared Akashic records, like with a group. I'm leading the group, but I open the records of the group that's assembled, not like every single person, but the group itself has its own little energy. And so, and then bringing forward, in that case, I was more channeling messages from the Akashic records for the group. And it's really fun that way too. It's another alternative way of channeling the Akashic records for a group.
I love that.
And the Akashic records do support, I mean, I know people who, to your point, have decided once they learn to open the records, like, I'm going to open this up before my massage client comes in, or right when they're there, before I even do the massage, or I'm going to open it up at the beginning of the Reiki session, or the Tarot session, or the astrology session for the person who's the client, not their own records. Mm-hmm. And okay. That it, from the people who bothered to share anything with me about it, there may be people who have tried and maybe didn't feel anything from it, but the people who have received feedback from said, there's just something different there. There's something different. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe I'll work with that a little bit with my clients and see if it does shift things. Yeah. Thank you.
It's fun to, I mean, especially if you already have experience. Like, I remember one woman, this was many years ago, in one of, you know, maybe the first 3 to 4 years I was teaching, and this woman had a very robust tarot practice. So she was very experienced with it. And so she had a lot of, you know, sense of what readings were like, and particularly with regular clients. And there was a marked difference. I remember she said, it's like she was always already very intuitive in terms of what she was channeling through for the people in the tarot sessions. But she said there was just something that it was like a little, it was more and deeper. And even the clients gave the feedback that it felt like there was something more for them.
I love that.
It really does work well with a lot of things.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. We can play with the group dynamic and that type of thing if I have their permission. And we have a couple more weeks, so that's some time to play.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun. Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
All right. Yeah. So, and in terms of me, what I was trying to think of, like, is there anything unique that I've done, or not unique? It doesn't have to be unique. Remarkable in terms of channeling that I've done recently. That the only thing I'll say, and this is maybe personal disclosure here, is like, so maybe some of you know, maybe not, but Bodhi passed, and he passed 2.5 weeks ago, I think, maybe 3. And he had been declining, and it was definitely time, but I was in the middle of teaching the Universal Sphere class, and it was luckily towards the end of that day. And I had taken him to the doctor maybe a week before, and he had had new meds, and they clearly weren't turning anything around. And so this was on a Saturday, and I knew I had another appointment scheduled with the doctor on Monday. And I just thought, well, I'm going to have to tell her these meds aren't working. And towards the end of the Universal Sphere class, oftentimes the cats would be like in the room with me somewhere, but I felt him plop onto my feet, which is not something he typically did. And so I just peeked under the desk, and he was there breathing very hard. So I said, everyone, I gotta go. And luckily we were kind of winding things up for that day and already, and took him to the emergency vet, and that was everything. You know, and I knew when I put him in the car, I told him, you know, that, what did I say to him? Like, I don't remember the words I said, but like, I told him it was okay. It was okay. Like, I just knew that he was either going to pass here at the house, or he's going to pass at the vet. And I didn't feel comfortable with what was going on with him to know that I could handle this on my own. I wanted the support of the vet. And, you know, I won't go into all the details, but she just felt his abdomen, and she said, no, there's no. And I guess when they put an animal to sleep, I've never had to do that before. And they give him, is it propofol first, I think? And then the drug that actually encourages them to leave their body is the right way to say it, I guess. But as soon as the propofol was going in, he took three last breaths. But anyway, so it's been very dramatic. He's been a very special little friend. And what's interesting about I'm going to talk about not channeling is I haven't tried to channel him since he's been gone. Or, you know, I like connect with him in my heart. And every now and then I feel like I see him out of the corner of my eye. So I feel like his spirit is still around a bit. And I also know that, you know, he had had many years of physical struggles. And so he's free from that. So I feel his sense of freedom from that. But I guess this is what I'm saying is like, sort of my disclosure is like, it kind of surprised me. I haven't tried to channel him yet. And maybe I'm just not ready to. I don't even know if he's going to have a message or not. I would assume he would because, you know, we were together for so long. So that's not a very happy story, but anyway, just like, you know, we'll see if he want. I think he will want to talk eventually. Thank you, Sherry Lynn. Yeah, and I, you know, week after he passed, or a week or less after he passed, I had to go back to California to help my father, and I couldn't postpone that trip at all. And so Raja was here by himself. I mean, I had somebody come in twice a day to feed him and everything, and my daughter came by, but Raja was not okay with, you know, Bodhi gone, and then suddenly I'm gone for over a week. But Raja and I are finding a new pace and a new connection, you know, just a different connection. The flow in our house is different and it's very sweet. I mean, Bodhi was definitely the alpha kitty. So I think there's a little more spaciousness for Raja to fill in also now. So anyway, so we'll see if I'm going to chat with him at some point. I feel like I should be chatting with him, but I haven't yet. Anyway, so, all right. So thank you all for sharing all that. And so I'm going to channel, thank you. I will when I'm ready. And also, you know, if he taps me on the shoulder or taps me on the heart and wants to share, I'm, you know, obviously assuming I'm open to receive that and have that conversation with him. When I tuned into him, I get such a sense of relief about being out of the physical body for him, you know, like that sense of kind of like flying around in freedom because his body was hard for the last maybe five, six years. It wasn't an easy place for him to be in. In fact, when I talked to the vet afterwards, she called when I canceled my Monday appointment and the vet ended up calling me and, you know, she said I've only worked with her since I've been here in North Carolina. So just a little over 2 years. She said, most people wouldn't have done for their pet what you did for Bodhi. And which was surprising for me to hear because I couldn't have imagined doing it any other way. But so it was interesting to hear that from her perspective. Like he had to be the one to say, I've had enough. I wasn't going to say that. Yeah. Anyway.
Thank you for sharing as well then. Okay. You thank us for sharing. Yeah. We thank you for sharing.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. So let's hear what the High Council of Orion has to say. And what they said just a few minutes ago when I said, oh, this is what they wanted to do. And I, because we're a small group here tonight, and for those of you watching the replay, sorry, you're going to miss out on this. So what they were saying we could do, if you want, is I'll channel a message from them. And then if you want, we could open up for you guys to ask your own questions of the High Council of Orion, and then we'll come out of that and then do a, you know, a practice channeling. How does that sound? Yes. Okay. And because again, we're a small group, we have We'll have plenty of time for all of that. All right. Okay. Greetings, dear ones. We are the High Council of Orion. Let's take a moment to shift our awareness while we have initial conversation that is on our human level. In this moment, we can include our human level, of course, never trying to escape it or step aside from it, but get in that more inclusive place of you in your universal presence, in the fullest expression of your light. And just by considering that, opening your awareness to that, your energies are automatically opening and connecting to more. And as we allow that to be true, also feeling these beautiful expansion of energies, and also one directional way they expand is down into the earth, so that you're very grounded and connected to where you are, which we would say is a very good thing, partly because we could make a bit of a joke of it that, well, here you are. But also there, when we talk about channeling and we think about energies or beings or thought forms, we tend to think of them from out in the space and the area around, correct? Whether you're channeling a star system or whether you're channeling a galactic lifetime, or whether you're channeling an ascended master or an angel, whatever it might be, there is this outside of me, out towards the sky kind of awareness of this. But the planet itself has so much information within it, so much knowledge and wisdom that has been accumulated over millennia. So part of the grounding aspect that is often talked about with regard to grounding yourself to the planet and receiving from the planet and how that can enhance your life, part of it is understanding that as you're choosing to ground, you're choosing to consciously, intentionally connect more with that matrix that is the planet Earth, that is not just the planet with layers, and not even looking at the planet as Gaia, as a living being, which all are true, but also as this incredible repository of wisdom, of understanding that is been collected, if you will, by moving through the galaxy, by moving through the universe, yet also through its lived experience. There's so much wisdom to be had there. So whenever you think of grounding, you can feel yourself, if you wish, or imagine you're also not just grounding to the planet, because that's why you're here, that's where you are, but also that sense of plugging into consciously, intentionally, the network of wisdom and information within the planet that is easily accessible in that way, which is also why when you're out in nature, just walking along a trail, or whether you're sitting somewhere and leaning against a tree, whether you're sitting by a lake and putting your feet in the water, no matter what it is, when you're in nature, part of what feels so good is you are being nourished by the planet. And some of that nourishment, when you open up to it, is literally the knowledge and the wisdom and nurturing energy that's available through the planet, through her information systems, through the matrix of energy that she is. So we'll say that. And this is, that was a bit of a bird walk, but also important. We haven't spoken about that before. But as we open up right now, we want to open to the energy and the idea of, in this moment on the planet right now, how are you dealing with, how are you navigating, how are you making sense of instability or insecurity or rapid change? How are you working with this and allowing yourself to stay in a calm center so that when you're in a calm center, anchored into the space of your heart, the way we would describe it is your energy field, which is channeling energies from the field all around you, has an easier ability to receive options, right action, and open you up to where's the accessibility to what it is that you would like to be experiencing. And so what we know we're talking about this very generally right now, but if there's something that is, let's just say, disturbing you, or in recent times you've had this eclipse happening and there's talk of solar flares on a very large level coming down to the planet. And so you might be feeling the effect of them. And so emotions can be heightened. Sensitivity could be felt. And it's easy to, in a sense, come to a conclusion that I'm feeling this way because, and that is the reason you're feeling that way. And yet, part of it is if you notice that you're feeling that way, I might feel tired or irritable, emotional, uncertain, insecure. And if you know that there's a lot of cosmic activity, if you will, happening, you can just write it off and say, there's a lot of cosmic activity happening. And that means your energy has decided to focus on that and just let that be and write it out, which could be fine. But at the same time, all of that's happening, excuse me, you have the ability, if you wish, to come into this beautiful centered space. And centered space, you can feel it like a core space, a beautiful pillar of light, visualizing yourself that way, anchored into the earth and up to your soul star chakra and out to the center of all that is, and feeling yourself anchored in your heart, but in the continuum, if you will, of the space of all that is. And as you feel yourself in that continuum, anchored into the planet, anchored into the center of all that is, and then open your awareness to this potential that as a human being, I can be feeling destabilized by some of these energies, but open up to the idea of asking for the support to help process all of it in a way that's beneficial for your awakening, for you in your human experience, as well as your soul level experience, on a personal level, on the level of how you share your light, how you view the world, and what you're contributing. Not whether or not it's a business kind of contribution, but your thoughts, feelings, emotions, and energies are always contributing to the collective, correct? So what is it that you're contributing so that anything that feels destabilizing, you have the ability to drop into your center, open up to that field, and literally ask how to utilize what's here for your benefit so that you are optimized and that the way you're interacting, seeing, viewing, and approaching the world and sharing your light is optimized as well. Now, this is something we've never exactly spoken about before, but let's just take a little moment and try this out. And then we're going to ask you how you feel about it and what you notice about it afterwards. All right. So if you get into whatever kind of position of comfort or ease, whether you remain where you are, just closing down your eyes if you wish. And we can begin by envisioning this beautiful flow, column, pillar of universal light that's always flowing through you. And you can see it moving down to your earth star chakra, which is below your feet. And from there, it continues on into the planet. And it's not necessarily anchoring into the core, but as it moves into the planet, it, we would say, connects in or hooks up with the matrix. So you can see it moving in all directions along the lines of the matrices of the planet. And then as you feel yourself connected in that way, moving your awareness back into the earth star chakra and back up through your core, through your heart, and up to your soul star chakra above your head. And once again, feeling that energy of connection that goes out into the multiverse. And as it goes out into the multiverse, it is connecting within that matrix. But then there's that reciprocal action where it comes back down through you and down to the Earth Star Chakra and out into the information systems in the planet and back up. It's a continuous flow. We'll just sit with that visualization for a moment. Feeling it moving, ever present movement up and down through you. And also opening to the sense that you really are a continuum within this field that includes the planet and all the planets, stars, galaxies, and everything. But there you are, integrated into all of it. You always are integrated, but we're bringing into this deep awareness, this eternal connection. And in the past days, if there's anything that you may have felt or experienced or felt curious about, maybe relative to full moon energies, eclipse energies, solar flare activities, or things going on in the world, anything that could be destabilizing, worrisome, activating, or emotional, we're going to open up to that and recognize while you're in this beautiful connection that it is your human experience that's having a response to that, that you're experiencing. And then asking this field, this matrix, to support you in processing this, the energies of any of this that's happening, in a way that optimizes your experience right now. Channel in that level of support for yourself. And as you do, you may feel energetic, emotional, thought form shifts, physical shifts, or energetic movement, asking to have it integrate in a way that's supportive for you. And as you do this, you may receive an understanding or a transmission that might feel like words or thoughts. It's not required. And then as you're in this beautiful connected space, opening up to how these frequencies, energies, and experiences can be integrated for your benefit, you can also ask if there is a message in the form, perhaps of a word, an image, a felt emotion that would be helpful in this integration for you right now. And note how you feel as you do this. And then take a nice breath in, releasing it out. And we are not necessarily breaking connection here, but let's bring our awareness back to our physical bodies. And as we do, thank those communication systems for all that they shared and offered to you through your choice in asking. And then let's come back together. And let's see if there's anything that you would like to share in this moment about what your experience was with this. And you may go ahead and unmute yourself whenever you wish.
I'll go if that's okay. I found the experience very interesting. I noticed that when we connected kind of to both areas and kind of connected in deeper, that my torso started kind of rocking back and forth. So that was interesting to me. And in asking for like a word or anything, I was puzzled a little bit because the word that came up was remarkable. I was like, well, what does that mean? And it seemed to be like actually remembering to celebrate all the remarkable things, all the remarkable achievements, all the remarkable moments, the remarkable life, the connections that have been created. And so that was kind of cool because it's a word that I don't use or even consider.
It's always lovely when something like that happens, is it not? Because it's a little bit harder to second guess when it's something that would be a thought or a word or an expression that wouldn't be common to what you would typically use.
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I could feel connection with Gaia, and I had connection with the central sun and felt its energy come back down through me. And the word I got was peace or peaceful. And I had been hearing some things on some of the alternative news that had caused me some concern, and basically I was told that not to worry about it, everything's fine.
And how did that feel in your system as you received that?
Much better. It felt, oh, I can relax. I don't have to worry about that.
Beautiful.
This old energy.
Lovely.
It was an outcome that wasn't going to happen.
It was an outcome that what?
That wasn't going to happen. So that was really good.
Beautiful. So there's a settling, correct?
Yeah. I don't know, sometimes that stuff kind of grips you in the stomach when you hear something that's kind of scary. And I try not to be affected by that, but yeah, that one got me.
And the idea is, from what we're sharing here today, is this idea that there are frequencies that we would say are bigger than the energies of this planet. And you could say the consciousness of this planet that is tapped into multidimensional wisdom, understanding, truth. It, these frequencies that you're connecting with are outside of the energy of polarity, which is so prevalent and in this dimension, correct? The fear, the worry, concern, what, no matter where it is, or just anything to do with polarity that creates a destabilization, is polarity. And one way to counteract that is you could try to use your mind to settle yourself down, and there are lots of ways to do it. And yet by tapping into this larger field of energy, and asking to have it be integrated in a way that allows you to maintain that a beautiful core. And because you're tapped into a multidimensional matrix, if you will, it means you can energetically access frequencies that you might not readily access just through your third dimensional experience. So it can be very supportive.
Yeah. As you started to talk, I got a download of beautiful energies from the universe. And it was just felt very reassuring and secure and very grounding.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Wonderful.
Thank you.
Does anything else wish to be shared? So let's open up now then to see if there is anything that you would like to ask about. Anything. This is your moment, if you wish, to receive some channeled guidance.
Literally anything?
Anything. Meaning that it could be personal. It doesn't need to be something that is explicitly connected with the intention of the group of channeling. This is something that we're doing because we can, because we have a smaller group.
So I'm curious. I think last time I had missed the session about connecting with locations, but I did watch the replay and listen to it. And it made me very interested because I feel very pulled to visit Greece towards that concept. And I feel quite a nudge in that direction. So when I did attempt to connect with the essence of Greece and understand, I did get some information that there may have been, prior lives in that space and that type of thing. Is there more that you can share that can either validate or further expand on that?
Specifically about Greece and your connection to it, or just in general about channeling a place?
So like maybe both. So number one, about my pull towards Greece, but also like I just said, Greece in general, are there different ways or levels or perspectives or angles that can be taken when connecting with the energy of a location? Like for instance, connecting with certain time frames or a certain essence of it, or I'm just curious if there's like a little bit more and different creative ways that we can explore that.
Yes. So when it comes to something like a country, it's a lot of big energy that you're connecting with, even if it's a small country. So part of it for you could be that you could open up to channel. This opens up into a lot. But if, for example, you feel I'm very called to Greece. Now, most of the time when one feels called out of interest, curiosity, obsession, whatever it might be, relative to a place on the planet that you haven't lived in this lifetime or even visited yet, because one could get quite passionate about a place as soon as they visit there. But if you're referring to being passionate about a place or feeling called to it, you can begin to channel whatever you can channel the area itself, or you can channel getting it more specific to you. Is the idea of working with whatever main guide that you're enjoying channeling and talk about, this is an interest I have in this area. and explain what you feel about it, and then channel your guide telling you why you have that interest. So you're, this is taking it away from solely channeling the country itself. Because when you channel the country itself, you are not necessarily channeling what makes it special energetically for you. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, it does.
So you can tap into more in the case of what you were looking for in terms of a country, you can tap into the potential of there being a historical or even potential future connection with it and find out more about your history. Now, you could try channeling also, for example, Greece itself, and ask about your soul level resonance and what are the aspects of the energy of Greece that call to you, whether it's the people, whether it's the food, whether it's environment. So you could get a little more specific that way if you want to channel the country itself.
That would be helpful, because it was interesting as I started actually planning and I was talking with my husband about it. He's like, well, what do you want to do there? I'm like, I have no idea. I have no idea why I feel such a need to go, but I need to go. And so that would probably help me to put some pieces together. So I'll do that. Thank you.
Right. And so that opens up to the next thing that wants to be said here is you could even take a modern day map out or look at it on the internet in whatever way, connect with it through those images and information from that 3D perspective and use that as a jumping off point also for channeling more nuances of what's potentially there for you. So for example, would it be, we're being a little bit silly with this statement, but would it be important for you to get your feet on the sand and in the water of the ocean around that area? Or is it important for you to have your feet on the ground in the hills? Or, right?
Okay.
Because as you begin to open it up and look at a map or look at the geography through the internet and you see images, you can actually ask to channel the energy that lights up your soul around those different places if you're going to go visit.
Okay.
Trip planning through channeling.
I'm doing it. Yeah. Thank you. I will definitely try those.
So I have a question. So if you're thinking about wanting to move somewhere, so if you channeled the different locations, you might get a sense of where you could move to that would resonate with you?
Yes, it's possible to do that if you are approaching it from the channeled point of view, including yourself, meaning similar to what was just said, include the resonance, like being in conversation with that place and bringing into it the energy of your soul and your soul's journey about places on the planet that are good for your body and soul to be, so that it's not just the place, but in conversation relative to what could be beneficial or even what could be potentially troublesome about being in a particular place.
Oh, that's good. I hadn't thought about the troublesome part.
What was that?
I said I hadn't thought about the troublesome part. Yeah. Okay.
Well, it's good to take in all the information.
Yeah.
Because one might say they want to go move to a sacred space high up in a mountain somewhere. And the energies could be very supportive of being in the sacred space in the mountains. But part of the thing that might need to be considered is, what elevation are we at? And is that a sustainable place that I really want to be? So there's those types of things about it that, you know, that it could have all the yumminess and goodness and support for you in one way, but taking it all in, right? All of it exists within that field of all the things that are going to resonate or not resonate with your human experience.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
May I ask one question that kind of piggybacks off of that, please?
Yes.
So you had mentioned, you know, to Andrea's question about, you know, maybe different places that might be good for her. You know, when you're asking the questions about what would be good for your soul and your soul's journey, or what would be problematic, is the energy that you're intending to connect to and channel then Mother Gaia, or is it the combination of the matrix of Gaia as well as the multiverse, like we did in our exercise, or is it the specific locations?
Well, based on this conversation, it's more about the specific location, because every location has its own energy and personality. Every country has its own energy and personality. Every city has its own energy and personality. Every mountain range, every field has its own vibratory frequency. So when you ask about the human questions of what might be supportive and beneficial for you about that area, you're really, depending on the direction of your questions, it can be very multidimensional, from the practical part of you living there just as a human being, and also the more energetic, esoteric aspects of it. So you could go quite deep with it if you enjoyed that exploration.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have a question. I am looking at going to Japan next spring. And if somebody had asked me 2 or 3 years ago if I had wanted to go, I would have said, I don't think so. But I had seen some programs recently, and there's something particularly about Kyoto that really touches my heart in a certain way. There's something about the nature, the area around it. The energy about the place that I would like to experience and have a few days to experience it. So your conversation, your suggestions around going into your possibly going into your records or channeling those particular places really resonates strongly with me. So I will look at the itinerary that my cousin had suggested, and the different sites that we're supposed to see, our cities we're supposed to land in, and work with it that way. So thank you for those suggestions. That really is helpful.
Wonderful. And opening up the Akashic records can be beneficial, as you mentioned, with all this being talked about here. As we all know, it already is a form of channeling, but you might find some more soul level nuanced aspects of it when you open up your soul's record and ask specifically about What is the draw there? Why now? What's the potential for me there now? What's the past connection there? And so the Akashic Records is a beautiful form of channeling, of getting very specific to your own individual experience as well.
A few months ago, I had an experience that was like a spontaneous experience that I was really surprised at, because I was desiring to go to Australia and particularly go out to the area around Uluru and connecting with some Aboriginal population, you know, Indigenous people from that land. And what I got was a visual of me going in with and meeting this representative of his particular tribal group or whatever. And it was an elder, and we connected and we put our faces together and our noses together, like to the side of each other, and took breath in. And it just said, "You are complete." That is what you were meant to do. And whether you do it in the etheric or in the physical, it's complete.
So maybe you'll go there physically or maybe not.
Exactly.
But maybe Japan first.
Well, yeah, Japan is probably going to happen first. Not probably, it is going to happen first. So it's just, that was just an interesting experience, because it just came, popped out of nowhere. Like it was a channeling.
Yes.
A visual.
And so the question that you could ask yourself moving forward, were you peeking into a time gone by or a future potential?
Yes.
Even though you may have experienced yourself as you appear to be now, opening up to perhaps the draw to go there, but maybe one already completed their cycle in that area and there's no need to go back, or is it an experience that you might have in actually getting there?
Yes. Thank you. That helps to look at it from both sides.
Correct. Because our previous experiences are still in the ethers, right? This is what one does in the Akashic Records, and even with channeling, is the fact that it's past and doesn't seem quote unquote real in this moment does not mean it's gone. It means it's not in our lived awareness now, but it's still in the field of all that is. It's still in consciousness. And so you can access those things, and then with the subtlety of your awareness, discover what you're tapped into, because it will always seem present, because it always is present in the field. And it's only in this dimension where we look at it as past, present, and future, but it still is all in the now. And what all in the now means is it something I still need to go do and experience, or is it something that's already been experienced and you're tapped into that vestige of it that remains in the field?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. So we will close now this section of this. Be blessed. We are the High Council of Orion. Good. Timing's good. Wasn't sure where we were at with timing at all. Okay. How's everyone doing right now? How are we doing? What did you think of that guided experience they had?
I liked it.
It was good.
It was very, really helpful.
Well, I as Holly was doing it while they were channeling it, I still feel kind of swirly from it myself. I mean, even now, and I don't know if that's just because I'm still coming out of the channeling thing, but I just feel like, whew, that felt like it felt fun. And it felt like, for me, a lot of energy moving, although I wasn't attending to it to exactly the same way as I would do if I was just doing it on my own and not channeling concurrently. So that'll be fun to try and practice and feel that. I think especially, you know, in this big interchange point we have from, you know, one consciousness to another, when we look at it that from that perspective, feeling confident to ask to have the energies utilized in a way that optimizes us and our experience, like that's beautiful, isn't it? And it can keep us from getting, you know, feeling like, oh, okay, there's no matter what it is, whether we're perceiving things happening in the world or, you know, we're feeling like all this planetary stuff, how do we ask to have it integrate that way for us so that it's happening, not just to gut it out. That's what I was feeling with what they were saying. It's not like, let me just hang on tight until this is over and let's see where we're at on the other side, but more like, how can this enhance my experience? So I think it'll be fun to try that and play with that. That was unexpected. I don't know right now what I thought they were going to talk about, but it wasn't that. But that's okay. That's how it goes. All right. So we have a bit of time here to practice channeling. And so I think we have probably more than two choices. Well, we do live in a field of infinite possibilities, so we always have that many choices. However, in this moment, what's coming to mind are two choices. Number one would be, I would put you all in a breakout room together. Because, you know, then you can round robin channel, which I think you've done before. Not, I know you've done before. And, or, we could all just stay in this room together and we could even do the same thing. One way to also do some channeling in a small group like this is one person could be the recipient, and let's just say Carol's the recipient, and each one of us can channel a message. It doesn't have to be long, just a short message for her. And they can just be whomever we wish to channel in this moment for that one person. In this case, in the example, would be Carol. And then when Carol gets all of her little messages, and then we can move on to the next person and do it that way. That's an option too.
That sounds fine to me. I mean,
yeah, me too. Whoops.
You know, we don't have to go into a breakout room.
No, and if we do it this way, I'll participate also.
Good. That would be nice. That would be great.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. So does everyone feel comfortable with that? And if you want, in the beginning of your channeling, if you know who is sharing their information through your vocal cords, you could even say that, or this is just what you're receiving for that person. Okay.
So are we going to ask a question, or are we just receiving messages? Sorry. So is Carol?
That's a good question. Would you like to ask a question? What does everyone feel? I mean, this is like free form tonight, right? Okay. So we're making this up as we go. Mm-hmm. So
maybe if there is a question, then we could ask it, and otherwise just receive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So does anyone want to receive first?
Are we going to continue recording this part?
No, I was okay. actually just
okay.
thinking.
Okay. Thank you.
You read my mind or I read yours. And I was thinking maybe we'll stop that. All right. Thank you, everyone. That was really fun. And so we had our big breakout room with all of us doing this together. And our next meeting is October 16th. And thank you all for being here. Thank you for those of you watching the replay. And we'll see you all soon. Thank you again for the channeled messages, everyone. It was filled me up. Thank you.
Thank
Love you.
You
all. Bye-bye.
Love you. Bye-bye.